Good to see you all look wonderful, and thank you for being here today after a big night last night. It had been easy for a lot of you to stay home, because I know a lot of you had a long and big time here last night, so thank you for being here. Many of you know that before I went into the ministry, I was an actor in New York in the early 1980s. And around 1985, a man from my childhood church here in Savannah gave me a phone call to tell me about a young man in Savannah named Bruce. Bruce really loves theater, my friend said. He's a very gifted young actor. He's just finished college and would love to try New York. And I think he'd do well. But he's not getting much encouragement from his family. His father is a Pentecostal minister here in Savannah and doesn't understand Bruce's passion for theater and for performing. If Bruce is able to move to New York, can you try to help him out, show him the ropes? Well, it wasn't long before Bruce showed up on my doorstep, needing a place to stay for several days. That turned into several weeks. That turned into several months. This was before I was married. My sister Wendy and I lived together in Queens, New York, in an apartment, and we enjoyed having Bruce with us, enjoyed having someone from our hometown. And Bruce was a great fellow, really a good guy. Though one time he did almost burn down our apartment. I had to have the don't fall asleep while using the stove to cook talk with him, right? Well, I showed Bruce around New York, introduced him to the church we were attending, introduced him to some friends in the business, and gave him some names of caterers to help him get some waitering jobs. That's common work for people in theater, waitering at large catering parties. It's good money with flexible hours, so you can go to auditions or take classes also. And Bruce was very proactive. He would take any advice you gave him and would run with it. He didn't seem intimidated by New York at all. Well, I had just decided to attend seminary, so I would be moving to New Jersey. Bruce would need to find his own place, and how would he do? Would he be another person with the dream of coming to New York to perform and then fade off into the night? Bruce was not so much into singing as he was into acting and performing, so he wouldn't be doing musicals, which means it would be even more difficult for him. There would be fewer opportunities. And so in 1986, when I moved from Queens to Princeton to go to seminary, I felt a little sad and bad for Bruce, leaving him to the tough streets of New York and the even tougher world of theater. About the same time, Bruce went on a catering job, and while on the job, he met another struggling actor turned waiter named Chris. And the two of them, Bruce and Chris, really hit it off. And not long after, Chris introduced Bruce to another good friend of his named Matt. Well, these three struggling but creative young men started talking about their passions, what they loved, and what things they loved to do. And for instance, they discovered that each of them loved to play drums, that each of them was a percussionist. They also discovered that each of them loved art and philosophy and comedy. And so they put their heads together and one day threw on some masks and started doing some street performing. Later, they decided to shave their heads, paint themselves blue, and keep banging on things. One day, a director happened to see them performing on the street. He said, "If you put together an entire show, I'll put you in one of my nightclubs." They did. It was a success, such a success that they were invited to do the show at Lincoln Center. And then Bruce, Chris, and Matt's show really took off. They were asked to run it continually at an off-Broadway theater in Manhattan. Then came The Tonight Show with Jay Leno and television commercials. And now Blue Man Group has shows in New York, Boston, Chicago, Las Vegas, Orlando, London, Toronto, Tokyo, Berlin, and on cruise ships all over the world. Had I only known... Had I only known that those huge flames that were shooting out of the pot on top of the oven in my kitchen was just Bruce practicing his pyrotechnics for Blue Man. By the way, I didn't know about Bruce's success for a long time because, you see, when Blue Man first started, Bruce, Chris, and Matt decided they would keep their identity unknown as part of the mystery about these three aliens from out of space. And so a lot of people in Savannah don't realize that one of the three creators of Blue Man is from Savannah. And if you Google Bruce and Blue Man, you won't find very much, if anything, because when Bruce moved to New York to pursue theater, he decided to use his other name, Phil. And if you Google Phil and Blue Man, then it's all over the charts. When Bruce came to New York to pursue an acting career, he could have never imagined that this career, that his life would blossom into something so unique and successful. And I wonder if Bruce has ever wondered what would have happened had he not taken that particular catering job. What would have happened had he never met Chris? What would have happened if he and Chris had met but didn't develop their relationship? How do you make decisions in your life? What helps you with your decisions? What's your guides? How do you determine what God's will is for you? Our faith tradition encourages us to reason, to use our minds, to think, to reason as we use resources to help us make our decisions and choices. The primary resource we are given is the Bible. Bible has been called basic instruction before living eternally. We're especially talking about things like the Ten Commandments that were passed down to the Israelites through Moses. We're, of course, talking about the great teachings of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, the wonderful parables that he told to reveal to us how we are to live. These teachings and stories give us the foundation for dealing with morality issues, areas of what's right and wrong, good and bad. Another resource we are to use to help us with our decision making is our traditions. Things that have been passed down to us by the matriarchs and patriarchs of our faith. Some things that have been passed down have not been good, but there are many, many good things that have been passed down to us. The seasons of the church year, for instance, Advent, Christmas, Lent, Easter, Pentecost, seasons that help us focus on our faith and our spiritual journey. These traditions also include things that have been passed down to us by our own family members, our own ancestors, our parents, our grandparents. Those of you who have had courses in Christian education may be familiar with the name Walter Wink, W-I-N-K. I was introduced to Walter Wink's method of teaching while I was in seminary at Princeton. Wink really was big into having left brain, right brain experiences. He designed Bible studies to be interactive, creative. His book titled Transforming Bible Study is one of my very favorite books. He didn't want people just to read the text and talk about it. He wanted people to experience it, to draw the text, to do something creative with it. Guess what the last name of Bruce's friend Chris is? Wink. Son of Walter Wink. So while I was learning about doing creative, interactive Bible study from a Walter Wink textbook, his son Chris was helping design creative, interactive performance experiences for people through Blue Man. This important concept of interactive creativity, right brain, left brain, had been passed down to Chris from his father and had a big impact on Chris's choices and the creation of Blue Man. So scripture and tradition are resources we use to help with our decisions in life. Another resource, another helper, guide, teacher in making decisions are our experiences. What happens to us, or what happens to others that we learn from, that teach us. We learn from our experiences. Matt Goleman is the name of the third original Blue Man. In a wonderful TED Talk, Matt says this, "So, it's 1969, New York City, third grade music class. And our teacher brings us into a room with nothing but a piano and chairs. And one by one, he calls us up. And he plays middle C. And he asks us to sing it. La da da. La la la. And then you're instructed to go to either the left side of the room or the right side of the room. And when all 35 kids are done, the left side of the room, which Matt was a part of, was told to stand up and go back to homeroom. And none of them received another music class again in elementary school. Sanford Jones is shaking in his seat. Do you know how many music awards and accomplishments Matt and the Blue Men have amassed? Not to mention the millions and millions of dollars. And then Matt says on the TED Talk, a few years later, English class, first paper of a new semester, and he gets the paper back and on it it says, C plus, with the comment, good as can be expected. Matt said that he really didn't mind a C+. He was glad it wasn't a C- or a D. But the good as can be expected comment, even at that young age, just didn't seem right to him. It seemed so limiting. Well, Matt, Chris, and Bruce got married, had children, and they didn't want their children to have the limiting, non-creative education they had as children. So they started an elementary school in Manhattan. It's called Blue School. And it's the kind of school we all wish we could have gone to as children. And Matt says that, isn't it ironic that his life path has led him to a career of making music and writing for Blue Man Group and starting a school. But it's not so ironic because we learn from our experiences, especially the tough ones, the difficult ones, the things that hurt us or go wrong. They teach us and they help us determine our decisions and choices for the future. So we are blessed to have scripture, tradition, experience to help us make our decisions in life and creating our path and determining our future. But there are times when we have an important decision to make and we've used our resources. We've gone to the Bible. We've reviewed our traditions. We've examined our experiences and we're still not sure what to do. It's not a morality issue, for instance. I mean, if the question was whether we should steal something or cheat someone, that's an easy decision. We know what's right and wrong. But so many of the decisions we have to make in life are not morality issues. Like some of the decisions our graduating high school seniors will be making. Do I go to college or not? Do I go to a traditional college or do I learn a trade? Do I go to college or do I get a job or do both? Someone decides they are going to college, but which one? I love two of them. Which one should I go to? All of us find ourselves in with similar dilemmas about which job to take, which car to buy, which house to rent. So many decisions. What do we do when we're not sure what the right choice is? This was real, real easy for us when we were young, wasn't it? When we were children, we had an easy solution. Eeny, meeny, mighty, moe. Catch a tiger by the toe. If he hollers, let him go. Eeny, meeny, mighty, moe. And then sometimes we'd add, my mother said to pick the very best one, and you are not it. Wasn't it clever how I worked in mother on a Mother's Day? Or how about one potato, two potato, three potato, four, or rock, paper, scissors, or perhaps the simplest way of all, flip a coin. Believe it or not, this is the very same approach the disciples took when they were looking for a replacement for Judas. The book of Acts tells us that after Jesus' resurrection, the apostles were gathered together, but there were now only 11 of them, and so they needed another person to fill Judas' shoes. Now, before the disciples played eeny, meeny, miny, moe, I'm sure they did their homework. They listed what should be the requirements for the job. Then I'm sure they considered the pros and cons of each candidate. But after doing all of their homework, after considering all of the requirements for apostleship, they still were left with two very good candidates, a man named Joseph and a man named Matthias. And so what did they do? They cast lots. They basically drew straws and trusted God. The reality is that there are many times in our lives when we don't know what the right or best decision is. All we could do is make the best choice that we can make, and then, here's the very important part, to follow the advice of the proverb that says, trust the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Trust that God is with you in whatever direction you go. When I was growing up at a Methodist church here in Savannah and learning about John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, and Charles, his brother, who became the great hymn writer, we would hear just as much about their mother, Susanna, who was known as the mother of Methodism. When Susanna was born, she was the 25th child of 25 children. Susanna herself gave birth to 19 children. 9 of them died during childbirth or soon thereafter. 4 of the children who died were twins. How do you keep going after that? How do you raise the other 10 children? Especially when you consider that her husband, Samuel, was in jail twice due to his poor financial abilities, and that there was always a lack of money for the Wesley family. Especially when you consider, how did she do it? Especially when you consider that their home was burned down twice. Once by an ancestor of Bruce's who was temporarily staying there. You are listening. Good. I'm glad to know I'm just not speaking to myself. The other fire, they think, was started by some people who were mad at Samuel, John's father, who was a minister, but who seemed to often make people very mad. Little John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, almost died in that fire just after 11 o'clock or around 11:30 at night. The roof of the house caught on fire before, and back then houses went up just like that. Before the house burned to the ground, the Wesleys managed to shepherd out all of the children out of the house, all of them except 5-year-old John, who was up in an upper room. And with the stairs consumed by fire, his father tried to go up 3 times, but couldn't get through the fire. And the roof about to collapse, a human ladder was formed, and little John was lifted out of the window by parishioners standing on each other's shoulders. And Susanna would say that John, or Jackie as she called him, was a brand plucked from the fire and believed that God had a special purpose for him. And so even though she was forced to place her children in different homes for nearly 2 years while the rectory was rebuilt, she continued to trust the Lord with all her heart. It really is the key to being able to make difficult choices and the key to walking through difficult times. C.S. Lewis once said, "We trust not because a God exists. We trust because this God exists. A God of love, a God of compassion, a God of mercy." The choir is about to sing a wonderful song with these words. I will sing of God's mercy. Every day, every hour, He gives me power. I will sing and give thanks to Thee for all the dangers, toils, and snares that He has brought me out. He is my God and I'll serve Him no matter what the test. Trust and never doubt. Jesus will surely bring you out. He never failed me yet. And God never will. Amen and amen.